sounds good, doesn't it? It's Dire Straits. So today we're going to talk about Paper 195 because it is my belief that these are the end times. Well, they're not the end of the days of life. We're not heading towards a cataclysmic end, you know, doom. No, I'm positive because, you know, if you're a father, you know that your kids have to go through some level of transition before they can emerge as mature adults. You know that's true. I know it's true. I've seen it happen multiple times. There's a quote in the Arantia book where it says, "Only when man becomes disgusted with himself will he be willing to change and seek for God." And it's true. And that's what's happening now. That's what I think is happening now. And 195, for those who don't know, in the Arantia book, is the paper which follows the time after Christ returns, after his death and resurrection and ascension. It's aptly titled After Pentecost. So it's everything after Pentecost, which means it's everything after that day when the Spirit of Truth came in and entered into all thinking, moral human beings. And so After Pentecost sort of gives a, I won't say a thumbnail because it goes into pretty good detail, but it clears up, well, it shows the pattern by which Christianity took the effect that it had as a religion based on the life of Jesus, not necessarily his teachings, not all of them, but certainly it was a pivotal moment in man's history. And we know from the Arantia book that Jesus was a revelation of God to mankind. So since that time, you know, this particular paper, I've always found somewhat as close as you're going to get as prophetic as other parts, as any other part of the book. In fact, more so, because it really outlines what happens and then what is happening and then what will happen in our future, depending on the choices we make now. Now, eventually we will get to that period of light and life. If it takes 1,000 years or 10,000 years, it doesn't seem to matter much, because in God's mind, looking outward from infinity, all of this happens in the blink of an eye anyway. It's only for us that it takes, you know, a whole millennia for things to unfold. And so, you know, because God lives in at the speed of now, and we are just finite material beings. What is it? Eternity doesn't have a second hand. Isn't that a great quote? Eternity doesn't have a second hand. Well, we're not in eternity yet. We're in the year 2020 of mankind on this planet, and we've just gone through a major tectonic sociological shift with this pandemic that nobody saw coming. Nobody saw it coming. And it has not turned out to be as destructive as we anticipated, at least not yet. If I had wood to knock on, I would knock on it. But the fact of the matter is that we're all dealing with it. And it's revealing a lot of ugliness, I think, but also is bringing out the greater characters of people. So it's a fascinating thing to watch. And it looks like, at least in the United States for the time being, the worst is over. But we'll wait and see. But it brings to light, again, and we've talked about this on this podcast before, where man is going in that fork of the road. There's a fork in the road right now with what is best going to be able to serve mankind moving forward. And I'm not altogether sure that there is a specific path that is ordained or not, except for the fact that there's another problem that nobody's talking about, which is the lack of spirituality in our society. Now, the Arantia book very clearly says that without God, everything else is just pretend. I'm paraphrasing, of course, but it makes the claim that the farther a society moves away from godly principles, the more in danger that society becomes crumbling. And the reason for that is because deity recognition is an intellectual achievement. You know, people think of religious people as being less, you know, not scientific. Well, that might be true if you believe in ghost cults or if you're into the ghost cult thing, but not if you're truly looking for truth. If you're trying to find meaning, what was it, Socrates or Plato said, the unexamined life is a life without virtue. I mean, we have as conscious beings the right to assume that truth does exist, and it's our job to find it. And if that means you go through one path or another, still, without searching for meaning and value in life, what is life? And so I started thinking about the fork in the road, and the fork in the road right now is between, well, as we mentioned in the previous podcast, it's between communism, secularism, which are basically the same thing, materialism. You could argue that there's a conflict going on between free market capitalism and socialism. Maybe that's the big schism. But for the purposes of this event, the Urantia book, appearing when it did, I believe that it is about secularism. Secularism is the great threat. And it is addressed in paper 195, and I want to get to it because it talks about what we're going through now. And it talks about why we're going through now and what the results of what we're going through will be if we continue to deny God. Now, I want to put that aside for a moment, and I want to share a thought with you. It is not as dangerous for a person to be atheist than it is for a government to be atheist. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's one thing if you as a person choose not to accept the notion of deity. For whatever reason, that's your choice. There's no harm in that. From the perspective of as long as that choice doesn't lead to a philosophy of living that gives you permission to make choices that hurt other people. You know, you can be a moral person and not be a religious person. In fact, many people that I know are atheists are very moral people. They're actually more Christian than many Christians, but that's not to say that Christians are always held up because they're Christian. Oh, why did you fail? Well, then you're not really a Christian. And that's not fair either. But a secularist or an atheist, they have every right to feel that way. That's where they are in their journey. I believe that. And not everybody's on the same timetable either. They may never discover any kind of engagement with a deity or consciousness of a higher power. But that's their issue, not mine. But when you have an entire government like China that asserts atheism and seeks to replace it with an almost worshipful idolatry of the state, which is a human institution, trying to substitute man's longing for deity truth recognition with, you know, basically a ideology that is rooted in temporality. Communism isn't rooted in the in enduring internal realities. It's rooted in this idea that you've got to serve the state, that you are part of a state, a collective, and that your individual journey doesn't have any relevance, which is why they can so easily harvest organs. They don't care about the human because to them, they're taking something from a human that they deem to be irrelevant and finding some value in him and at least getting 10 grand for a kidney. I know that sounds harsh, but it illustrates the point that it is far more dangerous to have a government that is atheistic than people, because people will find their own way. Now, it's interesting to note that between 1985 and 1999, 100 million people discovered Falun Gong in China, and we brought this up on, I think, a couple of episodes back. And what it basically means is that despite two or three generations of atheistic social policy, they were still unable to remove the desire to find deity consciousness in the Chinese people. And that tells me that we are hardwired to search for God. And when you have a government or a society that seeks to oppress that instinct, what you end up with is a very dark age. So let's explore paper 195, paragraph 8, section 8, paragraph 1. And it's titled Secular Totalitarianism. And we're going to go through it. But even after the materialism and mechanism have been more or less vanquished, the devastating influence of 20th century secularism will still blight the spiritual experience of millions of unsuspecting souls. So even after the materialism, even after the mechanism, even after all this talk about science and how everything is science, and this is the age of reason and science, and if it can't be proven, it doesn't exist. And even after all of these things, these ideologies seek to take the spirit away from man, even though all of these things will happen, the secularism that follows will be even more devastating. Now that the soul has been taken from man, the secularism that follows will even be worse. And that's what we're seeing in China, because China has already adopted secularism. To them, you know, there's no God. That's like insane. Now you can get thrown into a mental institution if you push that too far. And that's how many people in China believe, because they've been taught to believe that. Now, let's go on. Paper 195, Section 8, Paragraph 2. Modern secularism has been fostered by two worldwide influences. The father of secularism was the narrow-minded and godless attitude of 19th and 20th century so-called science, atheistic science, which is what dominates science today. Then it goes on to say the mother of modern secularism was the totalitarian medieval Christian church. Secularism had its inception as a rising protest against the almost complete domination of Western civilization by institutionalized Christian church. And I would say that even though they don't specifically talk about communism or Marxism, what they're basically saying is that the thinking people of the 19th and 20th century got so tired of the church that their inception of a new society was one that had no church. They didn't want anything to do with popes and saints and all of that, all the ceremony, and all of that is just an opiate to man. A Western civilization doesn't need guilt. And that's basically what happened. Then it goes on to say, paper 195, 8-3, at the time of this revelation, which, as we know, is anywhere between 1934 and 1960, the book was printed in 1955 and published, at the time of this revelation, the prevailing intellectual and philosophical climate of both European and American life is decidedly secular, humanistic. For 300 years, Western thinking has been progressively secularized. Religion has become more and more a nominal influence, largely a ritualistic exercise. The majority of professed Christians of Western civilization are unwittingly actual secularists. Now, I take that to mean that most of us call ourselves Christian, Protestant, Catholic, Lutheran, and we may go to church, we may think about it, we celebrate all holidays, we try to adopt the Christian philosophy, but in the main, it's not something that's on our mind all the time. We're too busy thinking about cable and binge-watching and social media and whatever else is distracting us most of the time, because we're just caught up in the things of living. So what they're saying here is that the time of the revelation in both Europe and America, mostly humanistic, we're thinking more in terms of the here and now, and not what's happening or what happened. For 300 years, that's the way it's been. We broke off from the church. We got rid of all that stuff. If you want to still pray and count beats and go on Sunday, it's become a ritual. Continuing on, it required a great power, a mighty influence, to free the thinking and living of the Western peoples from the withering grasps of a totalitarian ecclesiastical domination. In other words, it took a great ideal to pull people away from the church. And the new ideas were things like liberty, things like not liberty in the right sense, liberty from tyranny, but liberty in the sense of, you know, do whatever you want. You know, there's nobody to answer to. And a lot of that, I think, had to do with the psychiatry of the earliest 20th century. It's not without merit to suggest that Sigmund Freud did more harm to humanity than probably anybody in the last 500 years. He has thoroughly confused people about identity. He has clearly created a subculture of people who are so stuck on their own selfhood that they've turned it into a fetish, really. I mean, psychology today, for many people, is a fetish. It's almost a worshipful sense of self. The illusion that you can solve in the riddle of self in one short life. And that's what psychology basically is. It reads, 20th century secularism tends to affirm that man does not need God, but beware. This godless philosophy of human society will only lead to unrest, animosity, unhappiness, war, and worldwide disaster. So very clearly stated that the more secular we become in our philosophy, the more human society will lead to unrest. What do we see? Unrest. What do we see? Animosity, unhappiness, war, worldwide disaster. It's all around us. And what's happened? Well, we turned away. We turn, you know, you hear people say, well, you turned away from God. That's what happened. Well, it's more than just turning away from God and God is taking revenge on humanity for doing so. It's not that. It's that we forgot about the more important principles of living. And that's what we forgot. We forgot about, no, we didn't forget about Jesus. We forgot about what he taught, which was turn the other cheek, the golden rule. If governments would run themselves based on those principles, everybody would be better off. Nobody could argue that the government is represents the will of the people, or at least it should. But it also represents the culture of the people and what they're willing to accept. Paper 195-86. Secularism can never bring peace to mankind. Nothing can take the place of God in human society. But mark you well. Do not be quick to surrender the beneficent gains of the secular revolt from ecclesiastical totalitarianism. What they're saying is don't be quick to give up the gains that you got when you pulled yourself away from the church. It gave you the freedom to invent things. It gave you the freedom of thought so that you are no longer hampered by guilt and the heavy burdens that the church would put on people for salvation. It goes on to say, Western civilization today enjoys many liberties and satisfactions as a result of the secular revolt. The great mistake of secularism was this. In revolting against the almost total control of life by religious authority, and after attaining the liberation from such ecclesiastical tyranny, the secularists went on to institute a revolt against God himself. Sometimes tactily and sometimes openly. To the secularist revolt, you owe the amazing creativity of American industrialism and the unprecedented material progress of Western civilization. And because the secularistic revolt went too far and lost sight of God and true religion, which is the pursuit of the truth, they're also fault, and I added that, by the way, there also followed the unlooked-for harvest of world wars and international unsettledness. So, let me read one more paragraph, and then we'll close this out. This is a couple paragraphs down. Without God, without religion, scientific secularism can never coordinate its forces, harmonize its divergent and rivalrous interests, races, and nationalisms. This secularistic human society, notwithstanding its unparalleled materialistic achievement, is slowly disintegrating. The chief cohesive force resisting this disintegration of antagonism is nationalism. And nationalism is the chief barrier to world peace. And so it says the inherent weakness of secularism is that it discards ethics and religions and religion for politics and power. You simply cannot establish the brotherhood of man while ignoring or denying the fatherhood of God. Without God, neither freedom and liberty nor property and wealth will lead to peace. How about one more? Secular social and political optimism is an illusion. Without God, neither freedom and liberty nor property and wealth will lead to peace. The complete secularization of science, education, industry, and society can only lead to disaster. During the first third of the 20th century, your ancients killed more human beings than were killed during the whole of the Christian dispensation up to that time. And this is only the beginning of the dire harvest of materialism and secularism. Still more terrible destruction is yet to come. And that was written, by the way, in 1934. So it could have been predicting World War II. It could have been predicting all of the successive wars that have since come and gone and continue. But the point is well made, and it's something that we think about now. And it's not, look, it, we don't want to go back to is what Chris Halverson says or the old wineskins. I'm not trying to convince you to revive your old feelings about traditional religion. What we're saying and what the Urantia book is saying is that the concept of deity consciousness, and I say that because I think that is a little bit more contemporary of a term. Consciousness of deity only implies that you are conscious of the deity fragment that exists within you, that is trying to make you a better person, that is trying to show you values in living, that is trying to encourage you to make the right decisions in life based on truth, beauty, and goodness. That's God. That's you recognizing that you are part of that reality, that you are not just an animal reacting on instinct and learned behavior based on the culture that you live in. It's not that hard for an entire society of people to accept their citizenship into the kingdom of God, which is really, in reality, the entirety of creation. We need to get over this fact that we're the only ones here, that we're the only ones that inhabit this grand creation. We don't know what's out there, but let's just make the simple assumption that we're created in God's image, so why not elsewhere? And that we are part of a much larger reality and a much longer timeline of existence. It's not that hard if you just put a little faith in it. But we also have to push back against the secular. And then I think this is what Paper 95 is about. And what we're going through now is the secular is asserting itself in even harsher ways. And we may just have to, that fork in the road I was talking about, you know, we may not have a choice. The dominant culture in the world today is not Christianity. I mean, it would probably would like to be if it was allowed to be. Nor is it Islam. It's secular totalitarianism. There are more believers who discount God and embrace secularism than there are people who are religious. In terms of their political ideology, you can say you're religious and you can say you're part of a particular faith, but that doesn't make you a spiritual person. A spiritual person behaves spiritually. You know, one of my favorite quotes is, to a man who has God in his life, all things are spiritual. But what we're seeing is what happens when, after about 100 years, you have societies that don't have any spiritual foundation. That's basically what I think we're seeing is a crumbling society, because there's no enduring value underneath all of this prosperity. It's like anything else. If you don't have a good foundation, then anything that you build above that is going to crumble like a house of cards. And that's what we're seeing right now in our world. And this is why the Urantia book probably was plopped in our hands, because it needed to wake us up and shake us up and say, look, The reason you're going through this is because you've turned your back on principles that are spiritually based, eternal realities. And that's where we'll leave it, because that's a good part to finish off at. And, you know, I think, look, we're all in this together. It's been said many times to me, and you've heard it probably yourself. You know, eternity eventually will have the time to work out the problems. You know, we're here for a reason, and we're here to learn. And that's what we're doing. We're learning. So, and I've hoped you've learned something today as we explored paper 195, which I've been longing to do. Don't forget, you could follow us online at YourRancherRadio.net. We'll see you next time.